Should Christians drink alcohol? What the Bible actually says and doesn't. One Greek word does almost all the heavy lifting here. Once you see it, the whole question changes shape. Let's examine it Berean style. Someone offers you a drink. What does your faith actually say? You're at the table, glass in hand or politely declining. And a quiet question pops up. Wait, am I allowed to do this? It feels like it should have a clean yes or no. Christians have argued it for centuries. Some grew up where a single sip was scandal. Others grew up where wine was just dinner. Here's the honest part. The Bible talks about alcohol a lot, and it doesn't hand down one blanket command either way. So we're not going to give you a verdict. We're going to hand you the verses, show you the Greek, and hand you the pen. Let's examine it. The plot twist, it's mostly one word. Most of this conversation runs through a single Greek word. Once you see it, the whole thing snaps into focus. Greek, oinos. Wine. Not grape juice and not a metaphor. This is fermented, actual wine, the kind that can make you drunk. Here's what's wild. The same word, oinos, shows up in two very different scenes. It's what Jesus made at the wedding in Cana, gallons of it, and good stuff. John 2 verses 1 to 11. Jesus' first miracle is turning water into wine at a celebration. He doesn't just permit it, he provides it abundantly. And oinos is also the exact word in the famous warning. Ephesians 5 verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Same substance Jesus made, here paired with a hard limit. Catch what just happened. One word. Featured at a party Jesus blessed and named in a command not to abuse it. So the word itself can't be the sin. Something else is doing the deciding, and that something is context, not vocabulary. The word doesn't settle it. The same wine that gladdens a wedding can wreck a life. Scripture knew that and used one word for both. The verses that pour it out generously. Lean into one side and the Bible is surprisingly warm about wine. Psalm 104 verses 14 to 15. God is praised for giving wine to gladden the heart of man, listed right alongside bread and oil as a gift of provision, not a grudging allowance. 1 Timothy 5 verse 23. Paul tells Timothy to use a little wine for the sake of your stomach. Practical, gentle, no scolding. Deuteronomy 14 verse 26. God's people are told they may spend their tithe feast money on whatever they desire, explicitly including wine, and rejoice before the Lord. Read these and you hear celebration, gift, gladness. Not a frown. The verses that slam the brakes. Keep reading and the Bible is just as serious about the danger. It does not romanticize it. Proverbs 20 verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Personified as something that makes a fool of you. Proverbs 23 verses 29 to 35. A vivid, almost cinematic portrait of the hangover and the slavery of the heavy drinker. Woe, sorrow, bruises, and a craving that comes back for more. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. The freedom flips into a warning the moment a thing starts to own you. 1 Timothy 3 verse 3. Church elders are to be not a drunkard, Titus 1 verse 7 echoes it. Leadership and being mastered by drink don't mix. There's even a moment where even new, sweet wine is the punchline of a drunk joke. Greek, glykos. New slash sweet wine. The freshest wine, and yet in Acts 2 verse 13 bystanders mock the spirit-filled disciples as drunk on it, proving even the sweet stuff could intoxicate. So the Bible holds both a good gift and a real trap. That tension is in the text. We didn't put it there. Where the line actually gets drawn. Notice the pattern across every passage. Scripture never condemns the drink itself. It condemns drunkenness, enslavement, and causing harm. Those are the bright lines almost everyone agrees on. And then there's a fourth principle that bumps the question out of, what am I allowed, into, who am I sitting next to? Romans 14 verse 21. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. Suddenly, it's not just about you. It's about love. That verse is why two Christians who both love Jesus and both read carefully can walk out of the room doing different things. Watch how each holds all the verses, not just the convenient ones. The freedom in Christ emphasis. Wine is a good gift God Himself gives, Psalm 104, John 2. The sin named in Scripture is drunkenness and enslavement, not the glass. So a believer can enjoy it with gratitude and self-control, receiving it as part of God's generous world while staying nowhere near the line of being mastered, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12, or causing a brother to stumble, Romans 14 verse 21. The abstinence emphasis. Same verses, weighted toward witness and the weaker brother. Given how easily wine enslaves, Proverbs 23, how high the cost of crossing the line, and how Romans 14 prizes a brother over a freedom, many choose to simply set it down, not because the drink is evil, but because love and clarity of testimony are worth more to them than the liberty. The conscience and conviction emphasis. Many land here in practice. Convince this is a disputable matter, Romans 14, where the Spirit may lead two believers differently. They hold their own practice with conviction and hold their brother's opposite practice without contempt, refusing to bind a conscience Scripture didn't bind, and refusing to despise when it did. See it? Nobody here is deleting verses. Each camp is trying to honor the whole picture, the gift and the warning, the freedom and the love. That's exactly why sincere people land in different places. So, what do you do with this? Don't outsource your conscience to a meme, a youth group rule you never examined, or even a blog, yes, this one. Read Psalm 104 and John 2 slowly. Then read Proverbs 23 and Romans 14 just as slowly. Ask the harder questions Scripture keeps asking. Could this enslave me? Could this wound someone watching me? Am I reaching for a gift or reaching for an escape? This was never mainly a question about wine. It's a question about freedom, love, and self-control, and those you carry into a thousand other rooms too. The pen is yours now. Open the book. See what you find. Examine for yourself. These passages live inside whole chapters. Please read each one in full, not just the snippet. Pray as you weigh it. Ask the Spirit to search your own heart and habits and talk it through with your local church and the older believers around you. This is the kind of question best examined in community, not alone on your phone.